sing this song over and over, but this song is perfect for Girls Night Out because Joel, the host of the show, is in New York and it's Girls Night Out. I have my friend Michelle Ferretta and her daughter Violet in the studio today. But first things first, good evening, Wisconsin. Welcome to Raised in Wisco, a podcast where we talk to you about all things hunting and fishing, about the great outdoors of Wisconsin, and eating very well afterwards. Don't forget to tell your smart speaker to play Raised in Wisco. You can tune in at civicmedia.us, or most importantly, you can find us on Spotify. So go to Spotify, look up the search button, Raised in Wisco, and you should find us, or better yet, give us a call at 844-967-2789. Again, it's 844-967-2789. It is. Oh.
Bandit, come here.
Special guests all the way around tonight.
Oh, that is my dog, Bandit. He has been here for, I don't know, a month now. But this is his first time. There's a dog walking across. Sorry, everybody. September 24th. I'm so excited. It is the Northern Duck opener. And then followed by that, it is October 1st, which starts the Southern opener. Hopefully, I'll be going up north this weekend if I don't have to work on Saturday and shooting some ducks. But October 1st, I'm so excited. Southern opener. And then before you know it, October 8th, and I'll be in North Dakota again for the third year in a row. But first things first, happy fall.
It's fall, y'all.
Oh, fall, y'all. I really didn't want to say that. I really did not want to, but I'm so glad you did. Happy fall, y'all.
Happy fall, y'all. I have so many fall puns.
But Mother Nature did us well. 20-degree drop. Beautiful. You know what that means, though? Did you get out on the deer stand today?
I did not.
Oh, it would have been a perfect day for that.
It was a beautiful day for it, too.
6:12 was shooting time. I was thinking about it on my way to work. I'm like, I'm on 94 right now instead of a tree stand.
You know, I was actually going to mention that when talking to you tonight is I'm sitting here with you and, you know, this is the first 20-degree temperature drop and you know what that means when the seasons change.
I know. I'm so excited, though. But so North Dakota, I am so excited because last year was my first year that I shot a speckled belly goose.
Ooh.
I know. It was definitely intriguing. I honestly did not know what they sounded like in the sky.
No?
Because they sound completely different from Canadians, and different from snow geese, because they all have their own Pacific tone.
Right.
But, like, I can't even try to do it, because it just sounds so weird. But the call of it is just completely different, because I remember looking at Bill, I'm like, Bill, like, what is that? Like, I don't know what this is. What is it? What is it? But they finally came in like they're supposed to do, and we shot them. Bill and I both got our first speckle. But within that group, there was a snow goose. So he got his first snow goose, too.
Oh, that's awesome.
I know. I'm so excited. But when they say speckle bellies taste completely different than all other geese, it is very true.
Is it?
It is. Because, you know, unfortunately, people do not like eating geese. Because I think it tastes wild and gamey, and it's like the texture of it does not like appeal to them. But with a speckle belly goose, the meat is more finely textured, so it doesn't have such a like. I don't understand the whole process of it, but it doesn't taste as gamey, and there's more of like a you can chew through it better. So yeah, like those with geese, we normally grinders up, but with speckle belly, you just breast it out and toss it on and sear it and. Chop it up and have it like
sounds
in
like
tacos
like,
or something.
Yeah, like some wild rice in a slow cooker, shredded. With
okay,
it.
But when I had this, Bill and I don't stay in a hotel or anything. We stay in the enclosed trailer.
Oh, sure.
So we just have our little campfire
cooktop stove.
Yep, yeah, we have that, and we use like every day we eat like two meals of mac and cheese and then duck. Like that's all we have for a week.
We gotta shoot it to eat it, right?
Yeah, but it was oh my gosh, it's like so perfect. I love it. But speaking of geese, Joel. Yes. Oh, I didn't even mention. Hi, I am Danielle, your co-host. I'm Danielle Fairman, you co-host. Your host, Joel Clayfish, our fearless leader, is in New York. Did you see his post on Facebook by chance?
I did not. Is he out?
So he is in New York, and I follow the Fowl Life on Instagram and on Facebook.
Yep.
And during their stories, I saw a bunch of geese laying. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm totally going to watch this. And all of a sudden it was Chad Belding. I'm like, oh, Chad, that's awesome. Then it was Joel. I'm like, oh, that is so cool.
Even
but obviously, Joel goes with the Fall of Life, obviously.
Right.
But they were just laying the smack down on geese. I was
Maine
definitely
is beautiful at this time of year, too.
Did I say Maine?
New York, I'm sorry. I'm like, I was thinking Maine. Colors. New York, you said New York.
New York, yeah, in New York. But then their dog, they showed a yellow lab. The dog's name is Dove.
No.
Dove. I was like, oh, I think it was. Like, don't quote me on that, but it was Dove. I was like, oh, that's like the coolest thing ever.
That is the coolest thing.
I'm like, I thought Bandit was a cool name, but...
I mean, it's fitting if you're going to be out, you know, shooting birds.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, right? So we had our first dog, Ranger, named Ranger Boats.
Nice. Yep.
And now Bandit with Bandit Fishing Lures. Oops. Coincidentally, that happened, but, you know, didn't happen. But without a further ado, talk to me. How's it going? How was your day?
So good.
How
so
was hunting
busy.
Season for you so far?
Hunting season has been dry for me, actually.
Dry.
You know, archery season just opened last weekend on the 17th. So for us, we're setting up. We were still setting up. I haven't seen anything on the cameras yet. So
I know.
Last year I was out. I sat out last year for 62 hours, Danielle.
62 hours?
62 hours I was in the stand. And finally on that 62nd hour, I finally connected with my first buck.
Yay!
So it was well worth it. But I like to say it was about, I don't know, 12 years and 62 hours.
Ain't that the truth, though?
You know, it takes that long to get your first buck, and it was amazing. It was so much fun. But no, this year, I'm expecting to go out shortly.
Yeah.
Probably on the weekends, but, you know, work's got you busy, and so it's going to be the weekends, and once we start seeing some signs, it doesn't really make any sense for us right now, and you're not seeing anything on camera yet.
Better out in the woods than a day at work,
here.
I wish I could get paid to be out in the woods.
Here, if we can figure out how to make that happen, let's do that.
Finally, well, last week, I remember on the podcast, if you guys remember that, I barely have been seeing any geese flying at all. And it was so frustrating. I knocked on so many houses. I put on so many miles in the truck. Well, Bill's truck, not my truck. On Bill's truck.
Sure.
But, like, we were not seeing anything at all. And I kept seeing people posting. I'm like, but obviously, if you see posts, like, you see in the good things. Like, you don't know how much work that they put in to finding those geese.
Absolutely.
So, like, I'm not smacking down anybody actually has shot limits and limits since early goose, but, like, I could not find any. And, but finally I did. Finally got permission on my first field that I got all by myself. And
nice.
We went out 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, and finally connected with a couple of geese. I'm so, so thrilled about that. And then driving here, we saw a bunch of migrators coming in. They're flying up nice and high. So
they're
coming in. They're here.
I have not been a big goose hunter, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, if you remember, you know, how we met, and Jen and Josh actually were quite nice and took me out goose hunting for my first time. A handful of years ago. I want to say it's like 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
And yeah.
It was really, really nice. We shot some geese, had some fun. It was more of the bonding experience for us, you know, because I had never done that before. And, you know, I've wanted to get into bird hunting for a long time. And goose was fun. It was a lot of fun.
it was a lot of fun.
I'm excited to go again.
Oh, yeah. But, like, that just brings up a really good point is I met you. I didn't know you, 3 years ago?
Yeah, about 3 years ago.
Yeah, so I knew you existed through social media, but I did not actually meet you.
Yeah.
But that just goes to show that if you start talking to people, like women in the outdoors, we want other women to come out with us. We're the fastest growing, and we need women in the outdoors. For
Absolutely.
One, because we know how to talk to each other, and we get to have fun, but yet we also like to, you know, get down to business when things happen. We can talk to each other and not feel intimidated.
Right.
Not saying that when you go out with men, like, you just feel completely intimidated all the time, but it's just a different atmosphere.
It's a different atmosphere.
When you have a girls out there.
Yeah.
Like, with Stiletto Bow Fishing, that's actually how you and I, on that particular event, met, was Stiletto Archery Bow Fishing event through Whale Tails.
Yeah.
And it's where they get, I don't know, I'm going to say 5, 6, 7 boats.
Seven. It's at 1 year, I think we had 8 boats or 9 boats at 1 year.
Yeah, it's awesome, but they have the whole bow fishing set up, and they take about 5 to 8 girls, whatever safely can go on those boats. but no less than 5 per boat. And it was just all of us together having a great time. Like, it wasn't about limits, but obviously we wanted to, you know, rack up those fish.
Hey.
But it was just either you first-time shooters, second-time shooters, or you've been doing it for years and years and years. We're just all there. We're all supportive. And there's plenty of, like,
the camaraderie between everybody. It was really, really fun to see. And they, you know, they have a waiting list because so many women want to be introduced to bow fishing and to the sport of archery in and of itself. And, you know, yeah, they may have shot bows, but actually having the ability to shoot bow, you know, to shoot with your bow and fish at the same time is something that not a lot of people get experience with. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing and it's fun to see. And we always have a good time.
But like, if you guys were listening last week, or we had Jeb on there with Team Bottom Feeder, and we were talking just about that bow fishing and everything and getting women out there. But the difference between actual bow hunting and bow fishing and getting that refraction, the first, like, I don't know, dozen shots for me, I'm like, off. I was dead on that fish. Oh, yeah, you can't be dead on that fish.
you're shooting at a deer, though.
Yeah. I'm like, I know I'm doing this right. I know I'm doing it right.
Yeah.
But, man, I tell you, that just doing that is so much fun. And then social media, they get you to her wilderness. They get you to all the other different, like, girl clubs.
Yeah.
Where you get to be able to do this kind of stuff with. So if you're, like, not necessarily afraid, you can find anybody on Facebook and just send them a message. It's like, hey, I saw this picture of you and the deer. Hey, I saw this photo of you and even a squirrel. Like, my first time hunting was squirrel hunting. Like, first time ever was squirrel hunting. And I'm like, why do I want to do this? But for one, it's awesome because you don't have to, like, put on scent eraser. You don't have to be completely quiet. You can still talk and hang out and walk in the woods. But then we'll talk more about that when we get to our next segment, because I feel like I have a story coming on, but I'm not really sure. But give us a call at 844-967-2789 to tell us about your stories, to tell us anything that you want. You're listening to Raised in Wisco. Hey.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. That is my song. I love this song.
Go listen to the song. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. You're listening to 540 AM 101 FM WAUK. Again, tell your smart speaker to play Raised in Wisco, or you can find us at civicmedia.us, or find us on Spotify, or give us a call at 844-967-2789. And speaking of calls, I see our loyal listener and one of my favorite guests, one of them, don't worry, Michelle, Robin Kennedy is on the line. And
hi, Danielle.
Hi, Robin. Oh, how are you?
How are you? I am so good, and I'm so excited that you have the girls show tonight.
Thank you. That's why I'm so glad you called. It was perfect timing. Did you listen to my Judds singing?
Oh, my gosh. I love it. And so now I can ask you a question because, you know, Joel isn't there.
Dun, dun. Well, we have Calvin and Bandit. There are still men here.
Oh, there are. We love Bandit and we love Calvin. So I want to ask you two gals, for someone who has never experienced any kind of outdoor hunting, you know, kind of with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
How do you start? And I know you were talking about social media, and you wouldn't even believe this, but I'm not a huge, like, social media person.
Oh, girl, which is fine.
I know, it's okay. but I might be speaking for a lot of women out there.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we get involved or try it for the first time. And I've never shot a gun. I love guns, but I'm just saying I never shot a gun.
Well, you never shot a gun. That is totally fine because, for one, I'm going to do this shameless plug. You have Joel and I. I'll take you under my wing, Robin. Got you. But for like people trying to get into hunting, for one, I suggest before you even take a hunter safety course that you find someone that does hunt and just go out there with them.
Yes.
To see if, for one, you can sit there out in the woods for a long period of time. Because when you go out hunting or fishing, you don't go out just for an hour unless you get your limit or you shoot whatever you're out there to shoot. But you're going to be out there for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours.
And 12 years and 62 hours. Be sitting.
Definitely. The first thing I would suggest would be to just to go out there and see if you like doing that in the first place. Plus, waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go out to your spot, and then you have to sit there an hour before shooting time. Like, it definitely takes to see if you can do it. It definitely takes commitment to do it. But then once you figure out you do that, because when you get out there and you watch, you wake up with the earth, you wake up with nature, you're going to fall in love. I guarantee you're going to fall in love with it. But then look into hunter safety courses. This you can find on the DNR website. They have a bunch of hunter safety courses on there as well. And they teach you from head to toe everything you need to know. They teach you that safety is just a mechanical device that can fail. And the reason why I remember that, because they told me every single day, for like every 30 minutes, remember, a safety is a... I forgot it. It's a mechanical device that can fail. Yes, and like know your target and beyond.
Hey,
like
Hey, Violet, we were actually just practicing this with our archer, with our bows in the backyard. So, Violet, what's one of the rules for hunter safety?
Know your target and beyond.
Very good.
Good job.
And what's the other one?
Oh.
Always know what you're shooting at.
Yeah.
Very good.
Good job, Violet.
That's awesome. Okay, I have to bring this all around, Danielle.
Do it.
Because what you just suggested in the industry that, you know, I work in with people with diverse abilities, we call that a job shadow. So you, anytime you're interested in something, you really need to go and observe it and be in the moment with it. So that is awesome advice, and I'm going to take you up on it.
Ooh, I would love that. I would definitely love that. Yes. We'll definitely get in touch, and Robin, you are so wonderful.
They have the mentorship program,
that's awesome. Yes.
I totally forgot about that mentorship.
That sounds like a great idea for all of us ladies to have a chance to get together and we do an introduction sort of event.
Oh, my gosh.
That'd be so much fun.
For sure.
And then one thing leads to next. We're going to be...
Show.
Thank you, Robin. I'll talk to you later. We have to have you on again.
Talk to you later.
Thanks, Robin.
Okay,
bye.
See you guys later. Bye.
But I'm so happy she brought that up, because with hunter safety, like that even like leads to other things too. Again, it's I would say it's social media, but it's obviously not on social media. You connect. It's a connect system. And go to hunter safety, you can connect with other people that do hunting.
Yeah.
And then with that hunting, you can connect to people that do fishing. And then with fishing, you can go ice fishing. And then with that, you can go to concealed carry. Because if you have your hunter safety course, you just send your certificate in with $40, and then you get your concealed carry, because obviously it has a gun course over there.
Right.
So it's just all, we're all connected.
It is. And you can't, you know, you build relationships with people with things that you can relate about, right? Is, you know, if you find those like-minded individuals. And They're out there. There's lots of us ladies out there that want to hunt, that want to fish, that are looking for friends and family to
Violet,
hunt and fish with.
Are you looking forward to hunting and fishing? What do you like more, hunting or fishing?
Hunting.
Hunting.
I'm not a fisher girl. I'm not.
You're not. What do you like hunting?
Well, she was actually just introduced for her first time almost 1 year ago today. September 28th was the very first day she set out in a ground blind with me.
Oh, I heard you were also shooting your bow.
Yeah.
You shoot your bow, right?
Yes.
How long have you been shooting your bow for?
a couple years now, I think.
Couple years, and you're 7 years old? So we are going to get to you, Miss Violet, when we come back from the break. We're going to talk about you and your bow hunting, and we're going to talk about Cub Scouts. I'm so excited.
When I was six, my Cub Scout lead.
You cups out. Okay. We'll get to that when we come back. You're listening to Raised in Wisco. Give us a call at 844-967-2789.
We'll be out that screen door, no shirt on, leaving two black marks down a one-way road. We just trying to catch a good time, even if it takes all night.
I have a feeling Bandit's going to be barking again. But welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your co-host, Danielle Fairman. Joel, our fearless leader host, is flying back from New York. He's in Philly right now. Hold on.
Bandit, come here.
Sorry about that. He is a very good boy. With our guest, Michelle Ferretta and Violet. And Bandit growling in the background. There's a dog walking across the street. Speaking of walking across the street, you can come say hi to us. We're at 217 Wisconsin Avenue in the big old fishbowl. If you walk by, we will be able to see you because it is all windows here. So come by, wave at us, take a picture, bring us food. We know whatever you would like. I would not mind food at all, talking about speckled belly geese. And speaking of speckled belly geese, listen to this. See, I told you.
You sure you don't want to try it?
Oh man, why am I doing this?
You know, today's old fashioned day too, so National Old Fashioned Days. Oh. I think old fashioned sound really good right now.
That sounds really good right now. Mm-hmm. But you know what, I know who could probably make a very good speckle belly call? Do you know Dave Nelson? We have him on our show a couple weeks ago. The state championship caller.
I probably have to see his face.
With jargon calls. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, probably.
He was in here and he was doing like the basic call. I don't know what it's called, but the whole like synchronized whatever. He is so good at it. And now I went out and actually bought one of those calls, the Crazy Train one, because I'm like, I have to be able to do this. I should be able to call. Like, I feel bad going out in the field and not calling.
Well, you know what? I have to say, when it comes to, and Robin, this is a good thing when you're first starting out is having those fun friends and those girls that are really going to cheer you on and not actually, as they say, you know, fix your crown, not break it.
Uh-huh.
You and Jen were calling for fun at one of our get-togethers, one of our hangouts, and... Mm-hmm. I myself have never called either, but it inspired me to go home and call. So practicing now by myself, of course, where nobody else can hear me, because my biggest fear is the whole "you suck" sort of thing.
I thought it was balloons popping.
Well, yeah.
Oh, she Violet, her daughter, was like, "It's balloon popping." Aw.
She wants to go to the straight fears, the bad fears. Let's not talk
but
about
see,
those.
But see, then you have to, like, the way I practice is you record yourself. That's how I know it sounds good. Then I'll be like, okay, then I'll play my recording for someone that's really good at it, because then I won't feel embarrassed at the moment. Then I still feel confident. He can tell me what I'm sounding like. He can see my could be a she. Can see my hand placement, because it's about the placement of the mouth, about the placement of the hands, all the things.
Yeah. Well, and then it goes back to with, you know, rattling in the woods when, you know, for mm-hmm. deer season as well,
yeah.
too. Because doing things like that and just the practice of rattling and calling mm-hmm. and knocking them together really does help.
YouTube is my savior.
Yeah. I'm not a big rattler in the woods.
Me either.
My husband will clash those things all day long. but I'm not a big rattler.
I don't. I've done it a couple times. Didn't really have success. So then I just like stopped. But I still shoot mostly doe. But I still shoot them.
Yeah.
But before we get way off topic, because I know you and I can continue talking about this for a while. Violet, 7 years old, been shooting her bow for 2 years. Has the biggest smile on her face. She loves hunting and fishing. She is everything that I would love to have in my life. She's a great child. You did so good with her. You did so good. So, Violet, we went to hunting and fishing. Hunting is your favorite.
Yes.
And so, what is your favorite thing to do? Well, like, what's your favorite thing to hunt? Do you have a favorite thing?
I think, since I'm still learning how to hunt, we have a setup at my house that we actually shoot at cams.
Ooh.
So that is really fun. I really like doing that. So
that's pretty cool.
What I mostly might like shooting is like,
I think turkeys.
Oh, turkeys.
Turkeys and geese.
Yeah. Girl after my own heart. I love. Those are my two favorite, too.
We have to shoot the geese in our front pond.
She has this look on her face of, I need to get them right now. She has a look of anger on her face. What has these geese done to you guys?
Oh, shoot.
Okay, what about fishing? What do you like fishing for?
Bass.
Ooh, get those big old bucket mouths.
I've only caught a bass like once or twice.
That's still pretty awesome. That's still pretty cool. That's
like
a good job.
Two bass.
Yeah. What about, so on the break, you were telling me about what's above your fireplace. What is that?
My dad actually caught a muskie and he had a mount of it.
Ooh.
So that is mounted above our fireplace. And
yeah,
it's really cool. My mom does not want us even getting near it. She loves the mount.
Does she?
She does not even want it to break.
Well, no, because those things, they cost money, you know.
It costed like $200 or something.
$200. I think it cost like $200 like per foot, probably.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, $200 an hour, probably.
An hour. And a long wait.
Oh, my goodness.
If you remember, too, you've seen a bunch of mounts, too, at Miss Danielle's house, didn't you? She just got hers back, too, which are awesome.
Yeah, I got my Speckabelly, my 32-inch tail pheasant. 32 inches. That thing was awesome. When I shot it, it was the first pheasant that I saw in the field and was obviously the first one I shot. I'm like, this is a heck of a way to start my day. Yes, let's do this. And then I got like three more after that, but man, it was such a great time.
Start big. You can only go bigger from there, too.
Oh, yeah. But oh my goodness, I was like 32 inches, done, got it, happy, let's go.
Yeah. Pack it up, let's go home.
Uh-huh. But then I got my Speckabelly, my pheasant, and oh my goodness. My three curler mallard.
Very nice.
Because last year in North Dakota, there was practically a drought.
Sure.
So the mating season didn't really go on that much. And so that means there was tons and tons of mature birds flying. We had probably about, I'm just going to pull a number. I'm going to say like eight. It wasn't more than 10, but like all together between Bill and I and his parents, we had three curler plus. Like, it was all big, huge, mature birds.
Wow.
Which, it was good because there was mature birds, but it was also bad because it was few and far between. Because they didn't mate. Mating season was so slim pickings. But this year, oh my Lanta, there is definitely tons of water, so there's going to be more birds, but they're tiny, but I don't care. I'm just so excited to go out there. I saw duck tornado. I don't know if I brought that up. Have you heard of a duck tornado?
I have heard. I don't know if
I told you the story, because I tell everybody this story.
I don't think you have, but I'm going to pretend like it's the first time I've heard it.
Very intrigued. Okay, let me talk to you about this. So it was Bill and I in the field, and all the birds were passing us and going down into this little holler, and there was just a little bit of water, but like not much, and so they just kept passing us, circling us, never landing near, never decoying up, and then they kept going down and down and down. Well, then I finally am like, okay, Bill, you stay here, I'm gonna crawl over there, because you know once you get out of the blind, they're gonna land right there. You know that, of course, every single time. So I walk over there. And then I got down and I started crawling on my hands and knees and doing like a little army crawl, like through the corn stalks and the hay. I'm like, oh my gosh, this hurts so bad. I gotta see it. And then I like peaked the hill, and the amount of ducks. I saw down there, I could hear them, the little feeding calls, little burr, burr, burr. I could hear them. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the coolest thing ever. And I crawl down a little hill and everything. I'm getting closer. I'm like, okay, no joke, probably like a thousand. There was just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of ducks.
Nice.
And this little area, just all mature. I'm like, this is insane. And then I'm like, okay, out of 1,000 ducks, I have to get at least 2.
What's the luck of that? Come on.
I got 1. But when I stood, I didn't like necessarily stood up. Like I got to a comfortable position to where I can raise the gun to my shoulder. And right. I'm like, okay, I got this. And then I shot. And then they all just flew up. And I'm still like closer to the ground. It was kind of, there was spots of tall grass, so I got into there. But like when they got up, they started circling and circling sure. and circling. And I looked up and it was just like a black cloud just going around, like obviously like a tornado. I'm like, this is by far the coolest thing I've seen.
That's amazing.
Just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of ducks just circling me. I'm like, wow.
And that sound must have been intense. Oh my gosh. Deafening. Just deafening of the sound of
all
the
birds. And I tried recording it and I dropped my phone like when I started crawling and I didn't know.
Of course.
So I had to go retrieve my one duck. And then my one out of hundreds. I really don't know why I'm admitting this on live air right now. But you know, it happens.
All been there.
But that was the coolest. That was the coolest thing I ever did. And the speckabelly, you know, the speckabelly goose call.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Have you done any silly things in the woods?
Always.
Oh,
always.
Wait so much. A minute. Hold on. I keep going over Violet. Violet, Cub Scouts. I want to hear about Cub Scouts real quick.
Violet joined Cub Scouts last year. And
did
she's
you?
She's in her second year now.
So what are you doing right now in Cub Scouts?
So right now we are...
What den are you in?
I am in the wolf den.
The wolf den.
What pack?
Pack 14. So that is really Woo. Fun.
Wait, and so what does a wolf sound like? Oh.
Ow. We're going to get her to howl.
We're going to get her to howl. We've been trying to get her to howl since before the show started. She will not howl.
I'm not going to.
So Cub Scouts, so do you, what do you do with the Cub Scouts? Like, do you guys have to raise money or anything? Do you have to, you guys
so
go
actually,
camping? What do you do?
I think it was last week or a couple days ago. I think it was last week or a couple days ago that we actually sold popcorn to raise money for Pack 14 so we can buy more funner and cooler, like camps and activities and lots of fun stuff.
That sounds so exciting.
Really cool.
What are some of the adventures that we do, Violet?
This week, I think we are going where?
Mama, where
Big
are we
Bald
going?
Bluff.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
Yeah,
for a hiking trip.
Ooh.
And there's actually a couple more people in two more people in our den.
Yeah,
got a bunch of dens going on a hike next week. So,
Mama, for parents trying to get their kids into something like this, into the great outdoors, mm-hmm. how do you? Or is it girls only in Cub Scouts? Is it boys only? Obviously not boys
not
only.
Anymore.
But
not anymore. Yeah, so girls are allowed to join the Scouts now. Now, Girl Scouts is always, you know, it's a great option. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't, it didn't suit the lifestyle that we had in the outdoors and the hunting and the fishing and all of that good jazz.
Yeah.
So luckily the Scouts was there. They were a wonderful organization. So she got started last year at first grade as a tiger. You can typically start as in your fifth grade. But they do a lot of enrichment activities. They, you know, with the learning to make fire, learning to camp, you know.
Oh, wow.
I'm a den leader for the Scouts there with them. So I became a range master so
Ooh.
That I can teach the kids archery and
good
shooting.
Job.
Sports and stuff. So yeah, it's a lot of fun and they get together. They do a lot of outdoor activities. So that's kind of
so how many people are in, how many children are in like a den or how many dens are there? I don't know anything about Cub Scouts. Like
yeah.
not a thing. I obviously don't have children either, so I don't know. But like how many people are in a den?
Usually.
It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter. It's usually 8 to 10 before you have to start splitting up groups to make double dens and stuff like that. But we have 13 new recruits last for recruitment on top of the 22 that we had. So we're sitting right around.
And we have two new people in our den.
Yes, ooh, that's awesome. We have two new this year, too. So.
Sweet. Well, I am so proud of you. I can't wait to hear more stories after this. Come over for another fish fry. But you're listening to Raised in Wisco. Give us a call at 844-967-2789.
You're just going to stay right here and let the world go by. We're just trying to catch a good time. Even if it takes all night. Pass that bottle around the campfire.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your co-host, Danielle Fairman. Your host, Joel Clayfish, is out for the night. He is traveling back from New York. He had a successful time goose hunting with Fowl Life, Chad Belding, and the rest of the crew, and the dog, Dove. Well, I'm pretty sure he's going to tell you this in 2 weeks, because next week he's going to be gone too, so we have another girls' night. Friend Stephanie Stevens and her daughter are coming in, which I'm very excited about as well.
No way! Yeah. Is she coming in?
She is. And see, again, this is what I mean. Girls, we all connect. Form this group.
We do.
And then you can invite each other over to a fish fry.
Yes. Stephanie and I don't know if you know, Stephanie and I used to all the time go to different shows together. And we used to shoot together. And she would, I introduced her to Whale Tales as well.
That's awesome.
When she first started as well.
Robin Kennedy, if you're listening, see? You're in, girl. We got you.
Great girl.
Yeah. We got you. Any other females that are listening, you could also send me a message on social media, Danielle.Fairman. Find me on there. Or you can send it to Joel Clayfish. Send a message on there. He can relay it to me. Or just go to our Facebook page, WAUK The Shaw, and post on there. You can just ask anything. There's no such thing as a dumb question. No such thing.
No.
Going back to our fish fry, I had Michelle and her daughter, her family, over for a fish fry at our house. It was pretty much like a welcome to our home / yes, let's get hunting season on the road.
Mm-hmm.
It was a week before hunting season, so don't go down my throat. It was before hunting season. but it was a great time. We had about 30 people show up or so.
Yeah.
And then I introduce you to Andy Seasonings.
Yes. The seasonings.
Andy Seasonings is something that you can find at like Walmart, Pick and Save, Festival, anything like that. But it's Andy Seasoning. They have like an original. They have a chicken. They have a fish one. They have a Cajun one.
That one was the best.
And your hubby.
Yes.
Eli. Listen, Eli. Cajun style.
Cajun seasoning.
You do. So for our fish fry, Bill and I, we like to combine two of those packages together, which is the original and Cajun. Because Cajun, I'm a spicy person, but I'm not like a consistent spicy person. I like to, you know, mix it all up. But if you do all Cajun, just Cajun upon Cajun, it is the spiciest thing.
Mm.
And I couldn't just keep eating it over and over and over and over.
I can see that. Yeah, and, yeah, that's good to know, though, for future, too. And, so, Eli, get some Cajun, and we can mix it with the rest of our stuff.
Tell your smart speaker to play. Add Cajun fish breading to our seasoning, or our grocery list. But if you try Cajun and you bake fish, it is 10 times hotter. Do not do it.
Okay.
Oh, my. Okay. Bill and I did it, and we... Obviously, we put it like a sandwiches or put it in a casserole, so we didn't go to waste. But we had it with walleye. We put walleye on the grill. We baked it, grilled it, whatever, smoked it. I don't know what you want to call it. And oh my gosh, when it came out, it was all in the Cajun juice and the Cajun on it. We took one bite, and it was just the spiciest thing I've ever had.
A gallon of milk with that afterwards.
Yeah, right? Just some yogurt.
Just to cut it in half.
So about ice fishing? Do you ice fishing?
Really? We do ice fish, not as often as we used to. Mm-hmm. You know, we do. I live out in Eagle, and we live on just about 13 acres with a nice pond on the front yard. Oh, nice. So
with geese in it,
with geese Violet? In it, as Violet, her nemesis. And we like to go out there, but it seems like in our ponds they just turn off in the wintertime.
Yeah,
it just I think it's you know seems to be because it's only an acre in size. If you're running around and hole hopping, you're you know making them waves underneath the ice and scaring them all away. But yeah, we do quite a bit of ice fishing. We're more musky fishermen ourselves.
That's nice. No, that's one thing I have not done, musky fish.
Okay, Eli, I'll trade. Okay, Eli, you go ahead and take Danielle.
There we
bring,
go.
Bring home
Thank
the
you.
Cajun. Yeah, he's really good at that. He that's his thing. That's his jam. That's his baby is musky fishing.
Fishing.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. I mean, I've gone like, same. Well, obviously, I can't really compare musky and salmon, but you know, salmon, I caught a pretty big salmon. It took a while to reel it in.
Yeah.
How big do you think that musky is? About the fireplace?
Oh, he's going to. Eli? Be really upset with me if I get it wrong, but it's definitely over 50 inches. I want to say it's like 55 and a half.
That's awesome.
Something like that. About 20, like the size of a dinner plate around.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's giant.
That's
big
awesome.
Guy. Big guy. Had I pulled it up with a lamprey eel on it, attached to it. And that shook off, you know, as they were netting him and they caught and released it. So he's a catch and release kind of guy.
That's
so.
Cool.
Yeah.
I wonder how long it took to reel in.
I don't know.
Because like I do love fishing, but I love big fish and the time it takes to the bruises
work.
You get
and the work it takes to earn that.
Of course the fish, the eating afterwards.
Afterwards. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think you can eat the muskie. We did not.
Can you not?
I don't. I mean, you can.
I feel like I got.
I mean, I feel you can, but I don't know that it would be good eating.
I
haven't heard
like
that
other,
it isn't.
If like it's bigger, it's probably be more good.
Surprisingly, you know, people a lot bass. Bass is really good, especially if it's fresh.
A lot of people don't think that.
But it's good.
You know what one I really don't like? Pike. I don't like northern.
Yeah. It's kind of like that's like a muskie.
Yeah. Oh, you know,
that's
fun.
Why.
Does it have the Y bone and everything in it?
I believe so.
Oh my gosh. So Bill has been teaching me how to fillet fish. And we have a whole system down. He bones it. He gets it off. Wait. So, oh my gosh. How come he cuts it in half and I just fillet it. Yeah. He gets the spine off, and then I do the other part. That's what we do. I'm trying to Google, can you eat muskie?
Yeah, you
somebody
can.
Call
I
us, 844-967-2789. Tell me your favorite muskie recipe. I need to know, because we also only have 2 minutes. It's 7:56,
is
and we're
really?
Done at 8. Yeah, see, this is the fastest hour ever.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't even Google and talk at the same time.
Yeah,
I can chew gum and say it at the same time.
I muskie.
But we didn't really get to the stories I really want to get to about fun
the dope moments.
Yeah, they're like the oh no. Like the scope falling off of your gun.
Yeah, the scope fell off of my gun 30 minutes into opening day.
Oh my goodness.
It was not 2 years ago. It was 2 years ago. 40 minutes into opening day, maybe went to pull up on a really nice 6-pointer. I had just sighted the gun in, you know, 2 or 3 days beforehand, and off popped my scope.
Oh my god!
Out of the tree stand, dropped it. It was amazing. It was the most heart wrenching thing.
I
and of course,
imagine.
It's on your rifle. So of course, I had to run home. go get a shotgun. Got back out to my car. Got my suit back on, and then realized I had brought bird shells.
Oh my goodness!
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine.
So we all have those dough moments.
We all have this. It comes with the whole learning experience. You're gonna have to have these experiences.
Yeah.
And it's either gonna make or break you.
Mm-hmm.
If you go home and cry in the corner because you done messed up, then it's
I've
obviously
done that
not
too,
for you.
But I show up the next day. Yeah, you show up the next
get
day.
Get back on the horse. Get back on that tree stand and get it back out there.
Yeah.
But speaking of get back out there, happy hunting season! Please, everyone, be safe. Be smart. Best of luck out there. Thank you for listening to Raised in Wisco.
And hi, Hudson, my son. Sorry, I told him I'd give him a little shout-out. He's 5. Hey, buddy.
I'm your co-host, Danielle Fairman. I'll be here next week. Thank you.
Stephanie, that's awesome. She's so good.